Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More water, more help. A fresh team of firefighters has arrived in the Los Angeles area, along with additional tankers, as those fierce Santa Ana winds pick up once again in Southern California. The fires have so far killed 24 people and destroyed thousands of homes and businesses. The Department of Justice making public the final report by Special Counsel Jack Smith on his election interference case against President-elect Donald Trump. Smith determining, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio,
prosecutors had evidence to prove that the 2020 election was not stolen despite Trump's repeated allegations to the contrary. In a letter obtained by ABC News that Smith sent Attorney General Merrick Garland last week along with his final report, Smith defended his conduct as fully lawful, free of partisan influence, and vital to the aspirations of the justice system.
Confirmation hearings begin this morning for Donald Trump's pick for defense secretary, former Fox News host Pete Hegseth. This is ABC News. More than a century after the Tulsa race massacre, the Department of Justice is out with its new report on the attack that killed as many as 300 people. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan.
Federal investigators have learned that local police helped to plan the raid into Tulsa's Greenwood section to imprison black residents. And while there are still two known survivors, Assistant U.S. Attorney General Kristen Clark says,
there is no living perpetrator for the Justice Department to prosecute.
Tulsa City Councilor Vanessa Hall Harper.
At the end of the day, it's about the political will to do what's right.
She's demanding reparations for the descendants of the victims of the Tulsa race massacre. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A book spotted on the side line of an NFL game, shooting to the top of Amazon's bestseller list. Eagles star wide receiver A.J. Brown was caught reading the self-help book Inner Excellence while on the bench in the middle of Sunday's playoff game with the Packers. He says reading brings him a sense of peace. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way, too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota,
the fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota,
we are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
The Packers packed their bags. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers were cleaning out their lockers after losing to the Eagles on Sunday. Green Bay lost at least four players on offense due to injury during the game, including left guard Elgton Jenkins and center Josh Myers, who suffered a fractured leg. The backups committed some costly penalties that wiped out some first downs. Right guard Sean Ryan.
Yeah, it's, seeing those f***ing little yellow flags on the floor really just kind of kills your vibe, but you got to be able to just move on and flush it. And, we had a couple holdings that negated huge gains for us. And the only thing to do about that, I guess, is just be better.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Chicago Bears are set to meet with Mike McCarthy about their head coaching position. McCarthy fired by the Cowboys after five seasons in Dallas. NBA, the Bucks are back home tonight. They host the Sacramento Kings in Milwaukee. The Badgers are at the Kohl Center against the Ohio State Buckeyes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothy Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A few flurries this morning. It'll be partly cloudy all day, and it will be cold. Our high 16 with a wind chill hovering either side of zero for a good chunk of the day. Tonight down to 2 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 23. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is zero.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Very honored to have Robert Kennedy, longtime news personality in the area, joining us today. See the text there, Jim?
Yeah, this is awesome. To Robert Kennedy, about volunteering your announcing skills at the Miracle League this summer.
It says, bring Hall of Famer Brendan along with you.
Right.
Happy retirement. Congrats on a great career, Todd Steffen.
Well, thank you, Todd. Boy, the Miracle League is a terrific organization.
Tremendous.
And my son was through there and played right until he aged out. So always had a great time doing that.
I also enjoy when I do even like Bayport girls basketball. I said, boy, your son was always there at every game and played in the band and did things.
You know where the big mistake was when they started putting the games on the computer? And if it's cold out, I mean, the football games on Friday night, we could go up to Bayport and watch a football game, and then it's a little cool outside. Let's watch the computer and we'll watch the Voice of Bayport or whoever's
absolutely.
Doing it.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about a couple things with you. I want to talk about the youth and your industry, but before that, you retired last Friday. You've got a lot of talent, and some people just pick it up and they're done. I've talked to people that are like, I will never do anything again, you know? But someone with your talent, and other countries treat the elders better than our country does, but are you looking at teaching, or are you looking at getting back into radio or podcasting? Doesn't everybody have a podcast now?
Who knows?
They don't all make money at it, but they do have money.
I guess I don't have any specific plan for that at the moment. But it's funny you should mention that, because the thought crossed my mind just even as recently as this, 24 hours after I walked out the door, that if there was something that came up that would be kind of a fun story to do and go spend some time. I mean, and it could be the logging expo or
one of those kind of
things, the World Championship logging tournament. I mean, that would be fun to go cover and do a story on that. I don't know who would want to carry it, or you just put it up on your own Facebook page, or how it would work. But I love telling stories. And I think that was the thing that I did the best throughout my career was
Absolutely.
Just be a storyteller. And I would anchor news. I would go cover city government, those kind of things.
How did you enjoy that?
Which part?
City government.
Well, actually, you know, I like politics. I like being a spectator to that. I tell people I think about the seven best, most fun years that I've had in this business was when I was in Oregon. I ran the Capitol Bureau for a station in Portland, Oregon. And I worked out of Salem, and I had an office in the Capitol building, and it was like a different sports event every day. Right. I mean, you just looked at what the agenda was for the House or the Senate, and you covered those things. You covered
and
the committee meetings.
And sometimes it becomes a contact sport.
It does. Absolutely. It was a ball, too.
Hey, it's the most, you know, you're the most cool, calm. Oh, yeah. This poor guy, though, so he'd come in IXX trying to get his, because he had like 12 different stations he has to do things on, and we would just get sort of, Bobby! And he'd be looking at his watch, he's trying to get his newscast in.
Well, when you're kind of a slave to a couple of different time marks.
And we wouldn't let you out of the studio or ask you.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that was fun.
That was fun.
And you know what? Here's a scary thing, and it tells you how big of an audience you guys had back in those days. For years and years, I'm doing the news, serious news, at the top and bottom of the hour, and I would be, people would stop me and ask me about Misconnections Wednesday, or just kind of a, did you really say that? And for that minute blurb, you were doing something on IXX, for instance, back in the day.
And everybody knew
that's
it.
That's what everybody,
they remember.
They looked at you, and I just thought, man, is this my career? I'm going to be remembered as the guy who tripped over somebody at Dunkin' Donuts.
It was fun.
And how did you, you've been in that industry, what, how many years?
42.
42. Like, it's changed.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, big time. Like, you know, some industries, it's kind of the same. But just the technology side, how did you keep up? Did you go to school or did your kid help you or did you just...
You kind of, it's a bit of osmosis, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, as new technology came in and new people came in, personalities, that sort of thing, maybe they were up to speed on stuff. It's really not that hard, I guess, when you... Just kind of in your own little world, this is what you have to do to get your product to market, so to speak.
But the key is you have to want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's some people that resist that and kind of like move my cheese, right? It's like, what happened?
Well, you either move or
they show you
the door.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll give you a lot of credit. I mean, you, 42 years with high tech, and I think it is higher tech now, right? I mean,
I came in, I wasn't starting when that
I'm not good at doing the math. So what year would that be?
That was in 1982.
82, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was just past the time when they would actually cut up reel-to-reel tapes and splice them together. So I wasn't
with
there
with the razor blade.
Yeah, with the razor blade. I wasn't there for that. I had just maybe the place I wound up starting my career at had already advanced far enough that they weren't doing that. There were smaller shops, probably still were. And then, obviously, to the point here where we are now, where you're pretty much everything is, voice tracked and different other kind of contraptions that you use to get your product.
Yeah, I want to talk to you. You were in Salem,
Salem, Oregon,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Capital covering on. You came to Green Bay and you stayed here. Like, tell me about
why. You're
a
Detroit guy, right?
Oh, you came from Detroit?
That's where I grew up.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell me about why. I was interested in why people stayed here. And I'm glad you did. I mean, you're a great reporter, but.
It was just, a lot of good reasons. It was great for a fit for my family. My son has special needs issues, wound up in the Howard Suamico School District, which was just a godsend for us. He really prospered, did well there. So that was a factor. I mean, prior to him, you were pretty free to kind of come and go as you wanted.
Yeah.
And if there was somebody who you didn't care for that was your boss or whatever, well, I'll just find someone else and I'll go live in the mountains for a few years, or I'll go by the ocean for a few years, that kind of thing. And then when you have a family, I mean, you want to be a little more stable. And we had a good thing going here.
We're with Robert Kennedy, former news reporter for Midwest Communications, and a tremendous career who kind of pulled the pin, although never anybody asks me what I'm doing now. I say, well, I'm actually still BSing for a living. So you can always do that, Bobby. Thank you.
With that experience, and not only the experience of doing radio, but you've been exposed to a million different things, like you said, from the logging Congress to politics to, I'm sure you did some sports too. Anything that you like better than the other?
People's stories, I mean, I think are still the main thing. Boy, I was blessed to have been taken into the confidence of a lot of people who had gone through really difficult times and even recent difficult times in their lives. And they opened up to me. They they shared some really raw emotional things to me, and I was just always blown away by that they would trust me to not exploit them, not to victimize them another time, and just tell their story and what they're trying to.
But you've earned that. I mean, look, we've talked about you. You know, we talk about all the reporters, and there's some of you guys that we can trust. You're one of them, but some of them you can't. And I just, you've earned that. And I think that's why people did let their guard down and share those stories with you. Mm-hmm. And then even when you told the story, you didn't blow up the most sensitive part.
Sensational.
Yeah, so you didn't say sensational. That's where I was looking
at. Well, and that was important to me, not to, again, not to make somebody a victim all over again, because they shared some things with you that maybe they wanted to share it with you just for background information, and you wind up
making that the story.
Yeah, and kind of putting it out there, and again, you're embarrassing people again. You're victimizing them.
You know, we've got a good friend of mine that I worked with in Flint back in the day. Mm-hmm. JoJo Shuddy McGregor is mm-hmm. her name, and I don't know if you grew up with her husband at CKLW, Byron McGregor.
Yeah.
So
he's an idol.
That's what I was going to ask, if he was one of your people growing up.
Absolutely, and I mean, just that station when you're a kid in Detroit, that was kind of the gold standard.
I mean, she was telling me, when's she coming on, Todd, next week?
Still working on it.
Okay, and she was saying that, because it's funny, because somebody sent us something here. They were listening to us in Finland. You know, because, you know, AM signals, that's one of our AM signals. And she said people in Finland used to listen to him and his station.
Hey, listen, when we take over Greenland, you'll be big.
I know. You're going to be huge. But he's the one that did The American. Remember?
Yes.
Sold 3.5 million copies.
Didn't she do traffic?
She's the first female helicopter traffic reporter in North America history.
Yes.
Yeah. She was our promotions director in Flint.
All right.
Yeah. So, but I was wondering if you grew up with CKLW and WXYZ.
Sure. Are you going to have her on in the studio here?
No, she's going to be on the phone.
Okay.
Lives in Chicago now. But okay. You should come on and talk to her about those days. She'd love that.
You know, I want to ask you a little bit, because I want to get to, would you encourage this for your kids or kids who are listening? We deal with a group of young entrepreneurs who are kind of in the media, a little different than radio, but they're, mm-hmm. what would you call what they do?
Influencers, stuff like that.
Video, yeah. That kind of stuff. Yeah. But the radio industry, what kept you in it? Because, I mean, it's not like the highest paying industry. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not,
sure it is.
you're not revealing a big secret. Yeah.
No, but 42 years, that's being quite dedicated.
Mm-hmm. Well, dedicated, and I think it goes back to, I suppose there's an ego thing. I mean, you enjoy sort of that element to it. I mean, you're the one who's telling people what's going on, and yep. and so that's for some people that's something that floats their boat, and you get to the song from the Broadway show, the being in the room where it happened. I mean, you're kind of in the room
Hamilton.
Yeah, you're in the room where it happened.
That is such, man, that's a great song. It's true, right?
Right. No,
who are some of the more memorable people that you've interviewed?
Yeah, celebrities, you mean?
Just in general, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can name some that would have no impact to you at all. I mean, the governors and that sort of thing. Getting back to that... seven-year stint in the state capitol in Oregon. I mean, there are a lot of politicians, nice guys, good, legit people, scumbags. I mean, they were all over the board there. So, and you got to deal with all of them.
Now, I bet you thought to yourself, if someone's a jerk to you, boy, could I tell your real story? You'd never do that, though.
I would have messages left. Wait till you meet John Minow in your future.
Good luck with that. We're with Robert Kennedy, tremendous news. What would you call yourself? Reporter, anchor?
Legend.
Legend. Midwest Communications, back after us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here with Robert Kennedy. Got a, I'm going to ask you that question. It says, does Bobby have an interest in running for mayor? But I'll ask you anyway. I think that'd be the last thing a news person would want to do right now, isn't it?
Well, this one anyway, yes. Yeah. not interested in that. I liked being the spectator, like I said, and watching all these things play out. But being part of that, making the decisions and signing my name on the paperwork and all that, I'm not interested.
Can I get got another one here? Can he please give us a... I'm Robert Kennedy, and you're up to date.
You know, I never did say that, but I would say.
What's your tagline? Did you have a tagline that you used all the time?
Pretty much tied it in with the newsroom. In the WTAQ newsroom, I'm Robert Kennedy.
Right.
There we go.
There you go. You still got it. Still smooth. You know, we're talking, though, about as far as, because Jeff Flint, who used to work in your office, wasn't
yes.
he?
Yes. He worked
with us at the yeah. And when so I mean there are lots once you're in that, once you've done that, if you want, there's a lot of different avenues you can go.
Tim Hanna right. took that guy out of the media. I mean, there's to go work in politics is something
if you want to, yeah.
That
yeah.
and people know you, mm-hmm. which is, you know, you spend a lot of money just name recognition.
Sure.
You know, and you have that, and you know, and you can get into politics, run for office, but you're also so knowledgeable in asking the questions. You're a great chief of staff. You know, I think that's something that's an opportunity for people in the media.
It could be, and it just kind of depends on the person. I'll tell you a quick story. For a brief time, I worked for state government in Oregon, and I was the communications person. For the Department of Administrative Services.
Right.
And, you know, that was a tough thing to go into because right out of being a reporter, because I'd never had any training in that, first of all. And the Department of Administrative Services was like the top agency in the state. So it wasn't like you were buried in the Department of Transportation and you were just putting reports together about car accidents or that kind of thing. So that was a tough one to go into. And also... for me, it was you were in a almost a mausoleum. I mean, it was a quiet office building. Nobody said much, and it was just unlike a newsroom where, I mean, people are, you know, calling you names or they're swearing at you. Or
you're always on a deadline. You're under pressure. You're always looking at the
scanner
clock.
Going on.
We always love that. You know, shoot the snake closest to your leg. You know, that was kind of the environment we lived in when we were there.
Hey, right? Bobby asked us to be saying to himself, "Would you guys? I just retired. Would you guys stop sending me back to work? We're giving all these jobs.
Let me play golf a little bit here.
Yeah. Todd and I went to an event at Lambeau Field. It was media. I forget what it's called, but
I can't believe
it was a job fair for media,
WBA,
though.
WBA job fair.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I couldn't believe, because I'd never been to that before, but I couldn't believe the number of kids that were there. Now, a lot of them wanted to get into sports, but other ones were just interested. Tell me about if you had an 18-year-old, 17-year-old come up to you and say, Mr. Kennedy, I'd like to do radio. Do you, yes, no?
Well, I would say give it a lot of thought and be ready to be flexible. I mean, learn a bunch of different things. Don't pigeonhole yourself as to, I'm a sports reporter. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. So you need to make yourself valuable in many other ways.
Got to be versatile.
Learn different things. And that way you're just a good commodity for who's ever running the TV station, the radio station, the whatever it is that the print.
And what about the classes? Like, what were you, literature major? Or what would your journalism or what classes would you encourage? Some high school or
where'd you go to school?
Tech school.
I went to Wayne State.
Oh,
In Detroit.
Yeah.
So beautiful downtown. So, but I would tell people just have an open mind. I mean, and be a news consumer. Know what's going on and get your sources from a bunch of different places. Don't just settle on I watch network news every night and that's it. I mean, you're just shortchanging yourself.
I want to say one thing though. You had to be proud of Detroit last year, the way they handled. And again, I lived down there and it was just a, you know, you say you're from Flint or Detroit and it's like, I don't know. But you had to be proud of the way that city handled the NFL draft last year.
Yeah, well, and the whole downtown, I mean, it's just been transformed. Gosh, when I left Detroit, I mean, it was a rough, downtown especially, was a rough place. I mean, the standard joke when you were coming from Canada into Detroit through the tunnel,
right.
Detroit-Windsor Tunnel, and you'd go through customs. And they would say to you, do you have any firearms? You'd say no, and they'd say, here, take ours. So
even like Greek Town got rough and these tourist spots that people are like, oh, this will be.
But I mean, now it's gorgeous and very welcoming and a lot of fun to spend time in.
They still got work to do, though. I mean, Detroit, I like Detroit. I love Detroit. And we've
no
been
question.
Out there a number of times, but they're really coming back. And that's why I'm kind of rooting for their team a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. I just think that they need. They're on a roll.
Well, and gosh, so many decades. I mean, it's not just a dry spell for a few years.
Think like about that. You lose half your population.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And, you know, and there's a book that was written by somebody like you, a reporter. It's called The Autopsy, and it just talks about Detroit. And it's not one thing that brought the city down, but
Well, you want to talk about
it? Could happen here, is what I'm
thinking. Did you read David Marinus's book, Detroit?
No, it didn't.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Right. It's really great.
Yeah,
you got to read it.
So. You would encourage this industry then?
I mean, I would.
I think that says a lot.
I would, but again, with the kind of the caveat that you be someone willing to kind of embrace a bunch of different technologies.
Getting up incredibly early.
Well, that's could be part of it, but but mostly just being aware of the different, I guess, delivery systems for news, if that's what you're into, and be kind of adaptable.
Right. So tell me, something stand out in your career? I'm sure you get asked that all the time. I mean, you've done thousands and thousands of stories.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's any one thing. There's one or two particular stories that'll always stick with me. But just, I mean, I went down to Louisiana like a day or two after Katrina and spent a week down there doing stories primarily Oregonians. I was still working in Oregon then, and so I was covering Oregonians who went to Louisiana to help, whether it was the Red Cross or the Salvation Army or the Humane Society or whatever it is. So that was just a great experience to be reporting from a major U.S. city that was had that kind of devastation. So I'll always remember that. Some national political conventions were fun to do. So stayed busy.
Robert, you've had a phenomenal career.
You have.
And again, we apologize for trying to make you go back to work.
Yeah. I just hope you, and it sounds like you're going to take that, because you're young, you're healthy, and, you know, to go and share that, be it through podcast or teach at TC or UWGB, St. Norbert. I mean, you're a great guy.
I'm open, so we'll see.
Don't be a stranger. We want to get you in here more. Is that all right?
All right.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Robert Kennedy, congratulations on a tremendous career.
All right.
And what you've done for the community. Let's keep it rocking. Quick break. Ben and Dan and Mal Kirby joining us. Moving with the Mal Course. Back after this.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, what was supposed to be an uneventful World Ag Supply Demand Report on Friday turned into quite the newsmaker. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Greg McBride is a commodity broker with Allendale Incorporated. He said USDA proved the January World Ag Supply Demand Report can rock the trade. USDA made cuts to both corn and soybean numbers here in the United States while leaving South America's crop unchanged.
What does it look like with no changes to South American production at this point and a record overall production expected between Brazil and Argentina? We already know that the price of beans is lower in Brazil than it is here, but the price of corn is still holding firm on the U.S. side of things, even though we know that that's going to shift over the next month.
Greg McBride with Allendale Incorporated. He says now it's going to be a matter of trying to figure out just exactly what happens with our U.S. crop. Soybeans received a little bullish news, but McBride said both marketplaces are facing uncertainty with the news about the South American crop. Where do the numbers stand as we get started on a Tuesday morning? I've got those next.
You're not in the habit of leaving yield in the field. You don't let the acres hold out on you. No bushel of corn gets left behind. That's why you choose top performers like Dekalb brand VT4 Pro with RNAi technology. It's got gigantic performance potential with the research to prove it. And 5 modes of action to protect against pests. Ready to go for the yield? Talk to your Dekalb representative. Never settle. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
On Monday, barrel cheese gained 3 to 188. 40-pound block cheese was up 9 at 191, while AA butter gained a penny and a quarter to 261 and a quarter per pound. This morning, the February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 13 cents right now, 20.47 a hundredweight. March corn's down a penny at 475. December new crop down a penny and a half at 456. March beans are still up 4 at 10.57. November new crop unchanged. March wheat also unchanged at 545, with July up a penny at 568 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Tuesday trade session. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A few flurries this morning. It'll be partly cloudy all day, and it will be cold. Our high 16 with a wind chill hovering either side of zero for a good chunk of the day. Tonight down to 2 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 23. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, our colleague Jimmy Cuska joins us to talk about potential changes within Wisconsin sports. Not everybody's happy. And how much money are we spending already on that Wisconsin Supreme Court race? Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Tuesday Tangent with Lukester. What's grinding his gears? And more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority have announced $2 million in grant funding to improve living conditions for those struggling with housing insecurity. According to a press release, 52 organizations across the state will receive a portion of the funding for projects that improve emergency shelters, transitional housing, and extremely low-income housing. Access to affordable housing has become a major issue in many areas as the unhoused population continues to grow across the state. The Oshkosh Area School District receives $35,000 in funding from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. The grant is part of an opioid abuse prevention effort. Superintendent Dr. Brian Davis announced the award at last week's school board meeting.
This award not only reflects the pressing need for such initiatives in our community and our schools, but also demonstrates an ongoing commitment to improving student well-being and academic success.
The grant will be used to support programs and services focused on preventing opioid abuse. While the NFL seems to have the Super Bowl on its mind, the city of Green Bay, its organizations, and the community are thinking ahead to the NFL Draft 2025. Green Bay Councilmember and President of On Broadway, Brian Johnson, says programming plans are underway.
When we look at programming, we recognize that there are people in our community that can benefit from this event as well. And we'll want to participate. We have folks from out of town that be looking for things to do. But we know that when they're at the draft, they want to be at the draft. So our programming efforts are really focused on the hours that are before and after.
The NFL Draft 2025 comes to Green Bay April 24th through the 26th at Titletown in Lambeau Field. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Mino and the Mayor, we are talking real estate. That's coming up, even though our guests are running late. We need to talk about what you want to do as a guy that lives, you're kind of a little bit of Green Acres. We kind of took you from out there building birdhouses and working to a condominium right downtown.
Not me.
And it's not you. And I was telling you that I've been reading a little bit more. I want to find this for you. These barndominiums.
Yeah.
Where you get a barn and you turn it into a living quarters.
Absolutely.
And then your garage is kind of underneath. Not garage for your car, like a workshop.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Your car under there.
I still think barns are some of the most well-built. I did a TV show a few years ago when I was working for one of the real estate companies on stuff like that. And some of those old, there was one in Suamico, well over 100 years old.
Wow.
Okay? No power tools, no nothing. You could take a level. That is the most
unbelievable.
Most leveled. And everything was like with an axe, hand-carved the notches with axes. And it was perfect. And they had wooden dowels. Instead of nails,
is that something?
The craftsmanship on those people in that era would
they're still standing.
And even when you go to like Europe, like you know, in Prague, and okay, this church was built in 1400 or something, and it's the craftsmanship. Or another one that is amazing. If anybody hasn't been, well, the guy's from Italy. If the place in Appleton, I can't think of the name of it. It's like where they first had power, where first electricity was brought to Appleton. It's still a really well restored, well, not even restored, it's just stayed kind of pristine. Yep. It's this really huge house right on the river in Appleton.
Yeah, they have some beautiful homes.
It's like one of the first paper companies the guy owned it. But the ornateness, they brought a guy over from Italy, and I forget how many, and he sat there with a chisel.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. I have so much respect for the people that can do that stuff.
Yeah. I think I've been to his house. His daughter married. His daughter's husband is the governor of Guanajuato in Mexico, ran for president. Anyway, he lives there, and I've been to his house.
He's really?
Yes, it's a beautiful home. His yard, and you walk into that backyard, you know, with for the parties and stuff, and it feels like you're not in Appleton.
Yeah,
you know, And Appleton's a great city. I love it there, but they just kind of carve out their little world in that beautiful home. Downtown, I know the home you're talking about.
Downtown Green Bay, there's some houses you'll drive by and you think, ooh, this neighborhood's gotten a little run down. If you go inside those houses and really see how they were
the craftsmanship,
built.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but beautiful craftsmanship.
And you talk about, and now you got the power tools and you got the levels and everything. But the it'd be cool to find something not real expensive, like in Stangleville or something, not too far away, right?
Yeah.
30 miles, not even. That's not even 30 miles. But I don't know.
I would be at, is it Connops?
Yeah,
I'd be there 3 times a week. I would weigh
get that.
317 pounds.
But you'd work it off. You'd work it off.
Ben, Indiana, are you there?
We are.
We're there.
All right.
Can you find me a place in Stangleville real close to Connops Meats?
John is.
Let's see what we can do.
Are you on a jerky quest?
Yeah. Hey, Brian Johnson gave me some venison brats last week.
Yeah.
Cheesy venison brats. The best brats I've ever tasted in my lifetime. I love small town butcher shops.
That cheese shop.
I do too.
Right. But we want to find Johnny. I mean, I don't know how the world of real estate is going. It seems like it's, you know, going pretty well. But this whole barndominium things, I'm not that familiar with that. I've just been reading a little bit more about it. But what an opportunity here in our neck of the woods, northeast Wisconsin. Because we must have hundreds of barns that might be for sale. You get it rezoned and just take 5 acres. Don't take the whole 60 acres. You don't want that.
I think 10 years ago, we might have been ahead of the game. I think a lot of people are kind of thinking that way. Wouldn't you, Ben and Deanna?
Yeah. I mean, I love the concept of a barndominium. You know, I mean, to me, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when people used to, when they'd buy vacation land, what they'd usually do is they'd put up a garage first because it was so inexpensive, then put a loft up there,
right.
Which reminds me of something very similar to kind of that barndominium concept. And a lot of people are doing it, you know?
Exactly.
Well, that's just it, and building them new, you know. So not only can you repurpose what we have, but, you know, you're starting to see them also go up being built new.
I hate seeing barns just kind of being left to the elements and just kind of, you know, don't you? I mean, those are so well built.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much history and, well built. So much you can do with them in our world today between, like you said, the barndominiums and using them for, you know, commercial spaces. You see so many,
right.
You know, being turned into venues of some sort. And it's just amazing to be able to kind of repurpose, you know, that part of our history.
Hey, I just want to just for one moment talk about the biggest tragedy taking place in the country. That, of course, being Los Angeles. And we've got a friend of mine that was a reporter in Los Angeles talking about that. But I was reading a thing that said, and somebody put a question, what happens to people's mortgages if their house and everything they have is destroyed? And one of the answers was, no matter what, still try to pay your mortgage because some of these credit score things could still haunt you. Is that true?
That's a great question. That's a great question, you know, and you do, you know, you wonder if act of God,
right.
If, you know, if that's for lack of a better word.
They have a term for that now. They don't use act of God, but there is a term that means the exact same thing that we always connotated with that. Yes.
Act of nature, maybe.
That's not even it. There's another term they've come out with now.
Because God wouldn't do that.
No, exactly.
That's right.
But it's amazing. I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but we were talking about the California fires. And I lived out there. John has friends out there. And I reached out to a friend of mine just through text and said, hey, you know, how you doing? And I've been to his house a number of times and went to school with him. And then he sent this text back and said, our house is gone. We lost everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have the guts to call him and say, come on our show, you know, tell us how you feel.
Yeah.
So I'm not one of those guys. But, yeah, it's just really too bad what happened. I'm really concerned about this rebuilding. And I know the government's going to throw a lot of money at it. But, man, we're so lucky here that we've just so escaped
some
of this natural
disaster.
With the floods, the hurricanes.
Earthquakes.
Fires. So
tornadoes.
Yeah. Anyway, how is real estate
doing?
Well,
that's it. And with insurance too these days, and I know that, you know, California has kind of had their fair share of issues with, you know, home insurance out there. So, yeah, it's heartbreaking for sure. I was just on one of the news apps out there, and they have started kind of mapping the area. So you can kind of look at, I think, the two big fires, which is Palisades and Eaton, and kind of look at some of the damage. And it is just breaks your heart because you honestly don't realize how much a home, a thing means to you until it's gone.
Absolutely. We're talking about that. A fire, they lost their house. Well, that's kind of minor compared to all the memories that were in there, pictures and the wedding gifts. Yeah. It's so sad. You know, us Midwesterners are practical people, right? I mean, right?
Yeah.
Conservatives and we're very practical.
I like to think so.
I think we are. But it's, you know, you want to make light of anything. But when they circled those fires, you know, in Eaton and Palisades, and then the ocean is right there, they're like,
yeah.
Come on, California.
Yeah. But I didn't realize what you're reading last night. They don't want to use seawater.
Yeah.
Because it'll kill the trees and the vegetation then for years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy.
I know. It is crazy. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's the same reason, like those memories in the house. That's the same reason why, you know, we have so many homeowners that have lived in their house for so long. And just the thought of moving is so overwhelming. Yeah. And it's not actually the physical moving can be tough too, but it's, you know, it's all the memories that you've had. You know, you think about the place you put your Christmas tree up and where you had your last family dinner.
Yeah,
and it's amazing the things that house holds for you.
Yeah. No question. Well, let's talk local real estate around here. This is kind of a dormant time of year as far as what I've found, but what about you guys? How's the market going around here? Is it still, you know, it seems like houses are on the market a little bit longer these days than they were like in the summer. And is that just because of the weather and things like that? Or am I wrong?
Or so I mean, the weather certainly plays a factor. The holidays do as well. You know, right now we're starting to see things tick up a little bit. I think while it gets increasingly colder here in Wisconsin, conversely, I think people are starting to look forward to spring. So you start to, it becomes a mindset thing. So while inventory probably for the last month and a half, 2 months has been sitting because of the holidays and people don't really want to think about that, the housing market's starting to heat up a little bit. We'll put it on simmer for now, and it'll heat up some more day by day as we get closer to all this ice melting.
But on the,
that's right.
On the opposite side,
the Packers have freed up our weekends.
Yeah, they certainly have. On the opposite side, though, if you want to get a head start against competition, and it becomes a competition once some of these houses hit the market, not a bad time to get all those other aspects in line, correct?
Exactly. Well, and you know, we've talked about it so many times, is buyers in the winter, they're determined. You know, they're shopping for a reason. It's not because they just love being out in the cold usually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you still have the buyers out there, and if you can get your home listed with less competition in the end, that's going to be better for you than waiting for, you know, the market to hit, you know, kind of hot and heavy in the spring. And now all of a sudden they've got maybe four homes to choose that are just like yours. So there is some benefits to being on in the winter market as well.
And especially as far as getting pre-approved and things like that. Get that done now.
That's right. Start talking to your lender.
Are people adjusting to this whole buyer agency now? Does that seem to be settling down where they're selecting a realtor?
You don't hear anything about that anymore.
That's what I was asking them, yeah. What are you guys hearing?
Yeah.
The market's adjusted to that? I mean, they're going to sign up with you if they want to buy or sell?
You know, they have. People have adjusted. You know, the reality is that, you know, there's two forms that are in place by way of, you know, showing a buyer some property.
Right.
It's just an easy explanation, and people, once things are explained appropriately and in detail, and it's not a long explain, you know, people are more than willing to sign that pre-agency showing agreement and getting in and going out and looking at houses. It's really no big deal.
You're really signing on for a friend that's knowledgeable. I mean, that's what you guys do. I mean, you know the market and they trust you. And I'm going to show you some houses. Yeah, that's nothing. And actually, at the end of the day, it's if this really works, it's going to be beneficial to you as a buyer.
We're with Ben and Deanna Malcor Real Estate, moving with the Malcors. Can you guys stick around for 1 minute? We'll be right back.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds great. Back right after this. Mino and the Mayor.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far, our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Ben and Deanna Malcor, moving with the Malcors, Bay Area Realty. We're talking about the real estate market right now. So I'm kicking the tires on getting a little fixer-upper type thing, okay? A little Johnny home.
Okay.
All right. I went on like just, you know, realtor.com or Zillow.com, which I don't have a lot of faith in. And I put like, you know, 170 and below. And it came up with like five or six. Are those, and I don't want to use the word scam, but are those just, what is it, red herrings or something just to get you to call them so that they can keep sending you stuff? Or are there some of those houses still around?
You know, realtor.com, honestly, and this is kind of a public service message to everybody. If you're looking for a house, realtor.com, they update every 19 minutes.
Okay.
So you have the ability to hide any home that's contingent. You know, there are people on the side of your computer screen or phone screen that they pay to be there. So if you reach out to them, you know, you're just getting somebody who paid to advertise. But realtor.com is your best venue in searching for homes for the layperson.
Yeah. But, you know, they both pull information from our MLS. So if they are there, as long as they're listed as active, and I think realtor.com is better at, you know, classifying whether homes have offers on them or not. But if they're listed there, you know, they are on the market. So they, you know, we don't have a system in the state of Wisconsin. A homeowner can't go put their home on like a for sale by owner. So they can't enter anything. It can't be manually entered and listed for sale at this point. It's got to be pulled from the MLS. because Zillow has their broker's license, so they have to follow the same rules that we do.
All right, so those are legit listings.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering about that.
Absolutely. It just, they may not be, they may have an offer on them. That would be the only thing, but if they're listed in some sort of active category, they're out there on the offer. They have not, or active market. They haven't sold.
Single and ready to mingle.
Once the weather once the weather warms up, I can call you guys, and one of you guys will take me around and show me some of those places.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Right around Stangleville Meat Market, right?
Upstairs of Connops.
Just I can help you. I can be an ambassador. I lived on Sleepy Hollow Road, so I lived. I could see. I got married in that church. It's St. Therese now, and I could see Connops from my house. So I yeah. A farm act.
There you go.
But I would, I'm unlike John, I would never live in that environment. But I like the hood.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're a city boy. I am a city boy, for sure.
Hey, we're talking about, you know, Jim, of course, could be renting out his house for the draft. Do you think once the draft happens here and you get, you know, maybe 300,000, nobody really knows, new eyes on the whole Northeast Wisconsin area? Do you think that could lead to a little bit of an influx in the real estate market of people saying, hey, that's not a bad place to move to? Do you see that possibly working with the realtors such as yourself?
I can tell you our fingers are crossed for okay. sure.
So you got that in your mind, huh?
Thing happened.
Yeah. Well, and you know, conversely, I mean, when they came out with that U.S. News and World Report, and I think we made it, what were we, top three? I had a couple clients who they moved from Metro Milwaukee to Green Bay strictly because of that report.
Wow. I think that's when we were number one.
When we were number one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, a study came out just recently, I think yesterday, ranking the top places to live. I'm kind of scrolling through here. Most livable cities in America. And we were nine.
Really?
Nine.
Perfect.
That's like really high. Think about them really with all the city. It is. I mean, and they it was weighted too. It was right, you know, amenities cost. It was like a 20-40-40 to get your ratings. But yeah, Green Bay came in. Now it's Green Bay Metro, so it's It's 250,000. I think is what they put us at. But if you read that, people got to be like, wow, that's not bad. Especially even people from Milwaukee might move here.
Well, yeah, exactly. But number one thing is like when doctors and surgeons and people like that, you know, I think a lot of them want to get out of the Chicagos and the whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
And we got phenomenal medical facilities around here for what, a fourth of the price for the same house that you'd have in like a suburb of Chicago versus here?
Oh, yeah.
You're spot on.
Yeah. Well, and the commute. I mean, I just remember I had a buddy who used to live in Chicago, and I mean, my commute from work is like 5 minutes, and I would call him, get a hold of his wife. This was back in the day of landlines, and she'd be like, well, he's still in traffic. It was 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And you're doing the same job at, you know, one of our local hospitals here at Bellin or wherever versus, you know, Cook County Hospital.
And if you look at the places that are the most livable cities, it's not San Francisco and New York and Austin. It's Portland, Maine, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, Green Bay, Wisconsin. We can compete with those people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So was Portland, Maine the number one?
Yes.
Well,
I like
that's a cute town.
It's a great town.
Oh, you've been there? I've never been.
Oh man, that's
I've never been to Maine. Yeah.
That's an awesome city.
I always wanted to go to Maine.
And they've got it going on. They still have that cobblestone, which I think is like really cool about.
We do.
Their alleys have lighting. I mean, they didn't waste anything there. That's a very cool happening.
No, they didn't. Yeah. That was one of our family trips one year. We did, you know, we throw the darts on our map and we ended up in Maine and we went to Portland, and it's kind of like a mini, more quaint Boston. Like, it's got that same feel with those cobblestone streets. You know, we happened to be there kind of, I think we were a little off-season, but on Sunday, they closed down this one street, and they had some music, people could, you know,
they entertain.
Around.
Yeah, I don't know that we're
cute.
That's a good word for them, quaint. I don't think we're quaint yet. We have some work to do to just tighten it up a little bit. The cobblestone, the lighting, and the events they have there are unbelievable. That's a great, great city. And I'm glad just to be in the top 10 with them.
I feel like I'm quaint.
Yeah. Agreed. But I think we just need to be us. We just need to go in all Green Bay.
Right. Absolutely. Ben and Deanna Malkor, moving with the Malkors, Bay Area Realty. How can we get a hold of you?
920-495-7653. Call or text.
Beautiful. Right, cool. You guys are awesome.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Right. Ben and Deanna Malcor. Moving with the Malcors. Mine of the Mayor. Back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome dietitian and nutritionist Sherry Stoka, and from the band Ask Your Mother, Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause join me in the studio. There will be rock.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Firefighters on standby, ready to attack any new wildfires. People are being urged to keep their emergency alerts turned on at all times as the winds pick up. Here's ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z with more on the forecast.
This morning there will be a peak, and again tomorrow morning, a little lull between the two. It's not constant wind, but when they come and they push 60, 70 mile per hour gusts, and that makes fire behavior explosive. This is not something that happens all that often. That's why they're putting that PDS red flag warning through tomorrow.
PDS, possible destructive situation. Former special counsel Jack Smith's report on Donald Trump's actions after the 2020 election has been released. It alleges the president-elect made up claims about fraud to pressure state officials into rejecting lawful votes. Smith also says he feels they would have gotten a conviction if Trump had not won a second term. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth will face questions on Capitol Hill in about an hour. This is ABC News.